Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, by the power of your Spirit, open our ears and soften our hearts so that we will be able to receive your word today, that it would instruct us, correct us, strengthen us, and nourish us. Lord, after we hear your word, would we love you more? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can take a seat. The gospel completely upends our understanding of power and authority, and it completely transforms every aspect of our life, particularly our relationships. Remember, as we've been going through 1 Peter, we've been looking at the core message, which is Peter writing to Christians spread throughout modern-day Turkey, living in a land that is not their own home, in a culture that is hostile to their beliefs. And Peter's calling them to live as a completely transformed people, a completely new community now, that they would be witnesses, even as a weak and minority group in a dominant Roman pagan culture, witnesses to the promises and the power of the gospel that has changed their lives. So, for example, Peter's writing, as I said, to Gentile Christians. Gentile Christians will be coming out of a Roman pagan culture. They would have grown up with one understanding, as good Romans would have, of what power and authority looks like, connected to the strength of the Roman Empire, suppressing those that are weaker than them. And as they've come out of that culture, the gospel becomes a new lens that transforms the understanding of power and empire, completely redeeming it from the inside out to be something completely new as a new community. They're called now to leave behind old cultural understandings, to embrace new gospel-centered ones. Do you see that? This is how the gospel works its way into culture. It becomes a lens through which we see how things are really meant to be. That down is up, out is in. The poor are rich, the grieving can find joy, the suffering are comforted. That what is weak is really strength. That's how the gospel works. It challenges and upends our sensibilities, completely transforming everything in our life and completely changing us from the inside out, and then it works into everything. Now, let's look at how that gospel framework of 1 Peter applies specifically to the relationship of marriage. Now, quick caveat. I know some of you don't like this because you've told me this week how much you don't like it, and thank you for that. Hopefully I'll be able to show you the framework of the witness of even weakness and the power of the promises of the gospel this morning, and that when we really understand what's happening here, we see what Peter is saying, what the Bible is saying, is not demeaning or belittling. It's not meant to oppress anyone. It's actually meant to liberate and free us, that we would come into our design and be who we are supposed to be, completely transformed people. Hopefully this morning we can accomplish that. I have 20 more minutes. So, 21. Another thing really quick, submit might make you squirm, that word, a little bit, which might show how modern you are, because submission and authority have always been concepts in cultures throughout history applied in different ways. Of course, that can always be misapplied and distorted and corrupted, of course. You might also squirm, and I'll say this sensitively, because the word submit, or maybe a verse like this, has been used against you, used to control you and suppress you. And I'm here to say, especially to wives, that if we really understand what this means, it's not belittling and oppressing. It actually is freeing, because we are designed, beautifully designed, in the image of God, to be all that we are made to be, even in what looks like weakness to the world. This is freeing when we fall into that design. And husbands, this is not a word that we get to demand our wives or our families to submit. No, it's a deep responsibility to earn the honor and respect of our families. So with that, let's hop in. Verse 1, wives, be subject to your own husband. That word subject is that word submit. So in Roman culture, to say what Peter has said here is nothing unexpected in a Roman culture. It completely falls in line with cultural expectations, in fact. Now, let me show you this just really briefly. Plutarch, who was a Roman philosopher and historian of the first century, here's how he captures the idea of household codes and order, particularly addressing women. He says, "Women, if they subordinate themselves to their husbands, they are commended. But if they want to have control, they cut a sorrier figure than the subjects of their control. And control ought to be exercised by men over women." That's the Roman first century expectation that is in the mind of a Gentile Roman at the time. So Peter, in one sense, is upholding that culture, you see, but there's a significant difference between the Roman view of subordination and control and the biblical idea of submission. Significant difference there. In fact, for Peter to address wives at all is completely subversive in and of itself. Women, children, slaves in this culture are viewed as property, viewed as second-class citizens. For Peter to address women, seen as hardly human by some views in the Roman culture, completely subverts the culture from the very beginning. Do you see that? So he's doing both so subtly, upholding and subverting. And this, friends, this is the framework that Peter is giving us in 1 Peter. Christianity doesn't stand over culture, revolt against it, and overthrow it. No, it actually gets inside of it and redeems it from the inside out. Peter is affirming that cultural expectation of authority and submission here. He's affirming the biblical view of headship and authority and submission here. And yet he's subverting it by giving wives moral responsibility, agency, by addressing them directly. He's subverting that Roman view of subordination and control. Do you see that? Because he doesn't have that in mind at all. He's addressing women as people made in the very image of God. Ontologically, meaning their very being equal with their husbands, and yet beautifully complementary and distinct. Sameness and distinction existing in men and women, husbands and wives. That's what Peter is subtly subverting in the Roman view. Do you see that? This is the biblical view, and Peter's inserting it from the inside out. This is how the gospel gets into culture and redeems it by moving in and becoming the very center of it. The gospel is a lens through which we see everything and how the Bible comes to bear on different social teachings in different cultures across time and space. Example, the Bible commands to love and serve the poor. What's the best way to do that? Well, how we would apply that in North America, Central Africa, Scotland would look differently. Different cultures, but the gospel would go in, become the center and the lens through which we would view the best ways to follow God's commands, critiquing the culture, critiquing ourselves in different times and places. It moves into the center and then begins to redeem from the inside out. This is how the gospel redeems culture. It's just like making bread. This is the image that Jesus uses. When you're making bread, you start with a starter. You start with some yeast. And it just takes a little bit of yeast folded into the lump of dough for that yeast to then work its way into the center and create a beautiful, flavorful texture and character as that bread then slowly, patiently is fermented by that tiny bit of yeast. See, it doesn't take over. It doesn't become all of it, but it works into what is already there, making it more beautiful, making it more transformed. It gets into it at its very core. Do you see that? This is what Peter is really saying. Because you notice, Peter is addressing wives who are married to non-Christian husbands. Peter is saying that how you live in your marriage is a force, a subversive force for the gospel in a culture that is often hostile to Christianity. But it works its way into the very center of it, transforming it from the inside out. You see, Christians are the church. Christians are the yeast in the loaf of culture. This is what Peter is saying here. And being Christ-like as a wife actually means the Roman culture will begin to see Christianity not as a threat, but as an asset. Why? Because it actually makes Romans better Romans. It makes men better men. It makes women better women, who they are designed and called to be, transforming everything into a beautiful texture of the gospel. Do you see that? Now, let me explain this a little bit further, because there's some really interesting dynamics here that if you miss this, you'll miss really what Peter's saying. In Roman society, the expectation was that the household, husbands, wives, children, slaves, everyone who lived under the roof of the family, had an intrinsic hierarchy to them. There was a value system to humans. And the order of the household was meant to be the same blueprint imprinted onto the rest of Roman society. The order of the home is a blueprint for the strength and power of the Roman Empire. The two are interdependent upon one another. Plato's Republic, Aristotle's On Politics, both talk about the intrinsic distinctions between inferior and superior peoples, women, children, slaves, weak, intrinsically weak, less valuable in the Roman view. So they need strength to maintain order. That is the same mindset of the Roman Empire. It's a pagan idea. Built into the fabric of the Roman worldview is that view of inequality. It's how the Romans would maintain the social order. So why is that important? Because for a wife to have a different religion than her husband, to have a different social circle as she would have gone to church as a Christian, is seen as a threat to the very order of society. This is what Plutarch says. A wife ought not to make friends of her own, but enjoy her husband's friends in common with him. The gods are first and foremost, the most important friends. Wherefore, it is becoming for a wife to worship and know only the gods that her husband believes in, and shut the front door tight upon all strange rituals and outlandish superstitions. For with no god do stealthy and secret rites performed by a woman find any favor. So a Christian wife in a Roman household is viewed as a direct threat to the social stability of the empire. And here's what you have to notice. Submission does not mean unconditional submission or agreement. She's defying him in the most important part of their life, arguably, her faith in Jesus Christ. Peter is saying that is not an area. Abandoning your faith is not an area that you are called to submit to him on. No, actually maintain your faith. It's not this unconditional control. Because if she loses her faith in Christ, what is the point? So Peter is subverting here the mindset of the empire. It's an act of subversive witness in marriage, in the household. The very center of Roman power in their view is in view. And Peter is completely subverting it, saying the gospel gets in even at what seems like the weakest point. He says he is the weaker vessel. He's talking physically. Because in Rome, men would exert their physical strength over their household to maintain the social order. And he'll later talk to men how they ought to honor their wives. I'll talk about that in a minute. But at the weakest point of the culture, the gospel goes in and is actually true power. Because he's going directly for the part of the culture, the marriage, the faith of the husband that can transform the culture from the inside out. Do you see what's happening there? It becomes a facet of cultural transformation and witness here. The gospel is liberating both men and women here according to their design to become vocational partners in marriage, in their being as made in the image of God, equals and yet with complementary and distinct designs and purposes, that authority and submission would be rightly seen complementing one another, that the gospel would make its way into the culture, transforming it from the inside out like yeast transforms a loaf of bread into something beautiful. You see the patient fermenting mindset that Peter has for the church as a minority weak culture? That's what's happening here. So he's saying, yes, the biblical view of submission. And yet, it's so that your husband would be one to the gospel, that he would see the beauty in the meekness and gentleness, that he would see the beauty even in the weakness, and that he would be one to the gospel. Do you see this? This, friends, this is true power. This is true power. Not dominance, not control, but gentleness, meekness. So I'm unpacking this for you, okay? Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 uses this word submit to talk about Jesus as the head of the church. Jesus as the head of the church. It's that same word that for the church to be all that it is meant to be, it must submit itself to its head, Jesus Christ. This is the image of husband and wife in the Bible. So the Bible is really saying that the design of a husband and a wife is like Jesus and the church. That's the proper design. Wives are not called to submission because they're less valuable, they're less worthy, they're subordinate. That's the Roman view. The call to submission is to subject ourselves to Christ-likeness as our head, who gives himself for the purity of the church because he loves the church. Husbands are to give themselves in sacrificial service to their wives so that they may be presented as pure. You see that? Submission is earned through service. Anything else is an empire mindset. This is the weakness of the gospel, and yet it is what true power is. This is how Peter is exhorting believing wives to live, to be so pure, to be so beautiful, to be so gentle, so peaceable. Yes, that even as you suffer, that the empire cannot accuse you of being a threat to it, that your husband cannot accuse you of being out of order. In fact, be so much like Jesus, Peter is saying here, who subjected himself to suffering and even death on a cross, Philippians 2 says, that your husband will actually see the beauty in the weakness of the gospel, and that through your life, he may be won to it. Peter is saying, wives, who do you really submit to? Who is really your Lord? Submit and serve like you're serving Christ. You submit to Jesus first and foremost. Serve your husband as you are serving Christ. And you wouldn't do anything that Jesus would never tell you to do something that would harm you. Jesus would never abuse you. Jesus would never take advantage of you. Jesus would never tell you to abandon him. Wives, that through the inward gentle beauty of your heart, your husband would be won to the gospel. See, the most Christ-like woman who's gentle and loving and beautiful and the inward being, Peter's saying, will point her husband to the splendor of the gospel to make him more of the man that he is supposed to be, because without the gospel, he can never be the man he's designed to be. Their marriage can never be what it's meant to be without the gospel. You see this? This is how the gospel works into the culture, like yeast working its way into bread. It changes everything. And it's going right for the center of Roman influence and power. See that? Now, what has to happen for bread to become bread? Yeast has to die. It gives itself for the sake of the whole. This is the gentle, patient, fermenting witness of the Christian in a world, even as they suffer under persecution. This is the witness of the church in the world today, both here and scattered throughout. A patient, fermenting, gentle, loving witness to the power and transforming love of the gospel in Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Now, quickly, honor. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the women. I didn't even get to this part in first service. Oh, well. Husbands are to live in that same way, the same way as their wives, the same as slaves, he's saying, not in subjection to the empire, but in subjection to Jesus. There's some strong textual evidence here that the husbands that are being addressed have non-believing wives, which would have been seen as a huge problem in Roman culture. So quickly on this point, really quick. Roman men would often use their physical strength to exert themselves over their families in order to maintain social order in the home. We've already talked about that. and religion was connected to that social order in Roman pagan culture. So what Peter is exhorting Christian husbands to do is to also be completely transformed by the gospel, to lay down their physical dominance for what true power is, which is to serve. That true power is not demonstrated physically, that's what he's saying to husbands, but is earned through honoring those and serving those who are often viewed as weaker than us and are weaker than us. This is what Jesus does for his people, that through service, he lays down his life for those who are weaker than him, for his enemies even, that they would become all they are made to be. So Peter, you see, is subverting the culture again. He's putting women on the same ontological, their being as made in the image of God, their same plane there, and yet distinguishing the distinction of roles, authority, and submission, because he's saying, husbands, your wives have the same destiny as you do. In Christ, they have the same destiny as you do. They are co-heirs in the grace of life. You see, under the headship of Christ together, there is no male, no female. There is just the bride together. See, together in Christian marriage, the two would become one, which is the goal here, that through lifestyle, through gentleness, through humility and humbleness, honor and submission, we would be all that we are made to be, and the gospel would go forth. See, this is the essence of a true marriage. Beautiful diversity in unity, holding hope to the promises of God, that husband and wife will receive eternal life together. That is the hope that Peter is grounding this in. And then Peter gives a stern warning. Failing to see this as necessary behavior from a husband. Husbands who abuse. Men who abuse those weaker than them. Will lose God's ear in their prayers. It is a stern warning. Because true power is found in service. Even at the cost of ourselves. Now, how can anyone live like that? You see the social pressure here that the church is up against, how weak it is in this culture. You see the weight of this calling to live as a transformed people, even as they suffer under persecution. Friends, there's only one way to live like this. It's to see the one who lived like this. To see Jesus Christ, who without a word, under the authority of the empire, was accused and condemned as an enemy of the state so that we could be declared innocent before God. He stood before Pontius Pilate so that through his subjection, we could be honored. Who gave himself in suffering and death on the cross so that we could be one now to God. Jesus gives himself in service to his bride so that she can receive her eternal destiny as co-heirs with him, no longer living in a land that's not their own, but be embraced in their heavenly eternal home forever. To see Jesus, who gives himself to make his bride beautiful and pure and washed and sanctified, so that she would never be put to shame and she would never be abused, but that she would be all that she's meant to be through his love and his sacrificial service to her, laying down his life for her, is to see that Jesus became weak so that we could be strong. It's to see the one who both submits and honors always, who never abuses, but he was abused for us. Do you see that? It's to hope in the promise of the gospel, for it is the power to change everything. Friends, see how Jesus gave himself for the transformation of the world. It's the only way to live like this. Father, thank you for the grace of your gospel that comes to us in what seems like the weakest ways imaginable. Through word, through bread and wine, through tap water. Mere afterthoughts to so many. And yet this is how the power of God comes into the world today, that as we proclaim the promises of the forgiveness of sins, of the power of the Holy Spirit, the world-changing love of Jesus Christ, that you change everything, Lord, and you begin that work in us. Lord, do so, that we would have hearts of service, giving ourselves for the sake of others, even at ultimate cost, that we would be who we are made to be, until one day we are united with you in our heavenly home. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.